You're a mom, you're a dad, you're a grandparent, you're a pastor, you're a CEO, you're a leader, you're a manager, whatever you are. You make a decision right then and you say, you know what, I've gone through all this training. I'm like Esther, I chose. Listen, I've been washed from that slavery. I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. I was tested in the desert and I fear no evil, for his rod and staff shall comfort me. I've made a decision to get rid of the anger and the fear. And I've been prepared for a time such as this. And when they come with the temptation to be able to corrupt the temple like they did in the Hanukkah story, I raise up and I agree that in the spirit we kill the garrison that's coming against us. We climb the mountain of the Lord. We go into the temple and we become a part of those heroes that say, Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I'm going to cleanse this temple. We're taking down the statues of Zeus. We're cleansing it in the blood of Jesus. We're trusting the Lord for the miraculous oil that there was only one container for, and trust it for 8 nights of new beginnings. Father God, that you will bring the anointing oil, not only in the temple, but in me, the miraculous new beginning oil of the temple in Yeshua's name.
All right, so Rabbi, how's things going for you?
Going really good. Normally, this time of year is slower, and this year is not. It's very, very, very busy. I would say being in the month of Tammuz and entering into the month of Av, that it feels in the spirit like there's a global shift, really, of the whole world. That's how it feels to me. You know, just from a prophetic standpoint, there's just nothing. I would say by the time we get into the fall feast and we get to the end, that there's going to be some major dynamic governmental and physical changes in the earth.
Yeah, so you bring up the fall feast, and kind of off camera, it was one of the things that we were talking about as we're trying to get ready for this episode, and what type of biblical significance, and I always try to think, Rabbi, what's going to help someone in their faith journey right now, the moment that they watch or listen to the episode? Where can we meet them on that journey line and try to enhance their walk? And so I know one big topic that as we go throughout the year, I think we can kind of get stuck in those appointed times of activation. You know, I mean, we just got done with Shavuot. Now we're looking towards the fall feast. But you brought up a really good point. Let's talk about the Hebrew calendar and the appointed times, and just from a whole throughout each biblical year, like, what are those appointed times? How can you observe them and dive into God's word and really live by kind of like a timeliness factor, you know, like as we creep up and obviously understanding, I mean, Tammuz and like that Hebrew month, understanding what's to come from that month as you kind of gear up. I mean, like, that was an episode that was highly watched and listened to. So walk the viewer through the Hebrew month, starting with the first one, the first feast, just the calendar, and talk to me like I pretty much know nothing about any of this, because I know that's been really high feedback, is that people have got that ground education and their faith just keeps building and building.
Okay, so let me set up this episode this way. This is real life. This happened 2 or 3 hours ago. So I get a call from Megan Marcelino, who's COO of the ministry, but she's also Christy and I's daughter, and she's been raised in this for like 40 years, okay? This is all she knows. She knows about, we live a lifestyle of the Hebrew calendar her whole life. So it's not just like, let's say a Christian family would have Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas, that this is what you do. The Hebrew calendar in the Landry family and in the Marcelino family is, this is how we live. Okay, so now I want to share just a little bit about the conversation. So she calls and we're talking about planning for Kurt Landry Ministries and some of the other things that we're involved in, House of David, and just different things.
And the first thing she says is, we have to realize that while we're doing this, we're going through the dire straits, the 3 weeks, we're going through the ninth of Av. And what happens is her brain and her planning is adjusting to the fact that this is a time of the year when real bad stuff happens. And it does every year. And in history, I can show you, if you go, you can go in and get blogs on where I've talked about the dire straits and teaching on the ninth of Av. Bad stuff happens. So what happens is, like for us, like we don't book airfare and road trips during this period of time. We pretty much kind of hunker down. We don't have our staff and people moving out about. And we've just learned this. Now you have to realize we've been doing this over 30 years and we know that it works. So if you look to answer your question is that, okay, what I'm sharing you with you is not out of a book, okay? It is scriptural, out of the Bible, but this is from 34 years of living this lifestyle. So I'm going to take you through a normal year. Let's go to the Gregorian calendar of January. You have January, you have the New Year's, you have New Year's resolutions or whatever people do. But then the first feast that you get into is the Feast of Purim. So what is Purim? Purim is when Esther has to make a decision. Do I take the assignment on to save my people or do I not? Am I going to be a hero or am I going to be a victim? And so that's usually like around March. And you can see that if you examine your life, that you can kind of plan that in the first part of the Gregorian calendar, you're going to have a time where emotionally, you're going to have to make a decision that's not selfish. And you're going to have to lay your life down and say, I'm going to embrace this opportunity to help and save others. That's what Esther said yes, okay? So that's in March. Now, the next thing that happens is you have Passover. What Passover is a season. We're still in the fall, and you're going to make a decision. I am going to purpose through the Seder and the Passover to be set free from slavery. So now I know people aren't really slaves right now, but the key is that you need to understand that we become enslaved to a lot of different things over the year. So what you do is you look past your past of the year. What has enslaved me? I'm enslaved by fear. I'm enslaved by debt. I'm enslaved in a bad relationship. Whatever it is, you make a decision at Passover that you are no longer going to be bound and enslaved by whatever it is, the 9 blessings of Exodus 15, and you're going to apply those and you're going to choose to be set free. Because this time of the year, you choose to not be a slave. You choose to be a son or a daughter. Now there's 50 days of counting down to the Omer, which is a time to reset your mind on, I will not be a slave, I will be a son. So you're going to go from slave and controlled, manipulated, and boundaries into being set free. You got 50 days. After that 50 days, you have the Feast of Shavuot. Shavuot is a time of empowerment. And so what happens is the Lord is going to empower either you and what you believe you're going to be, or he will not empower a slave. So if you choose to, in that 50 days, to hang on to the slave mentality, then there's no empowerment in Shavuot. So what happens is, what is this 50 days? This is a time of promotion. This is a time where opportunities are harvest. Okay, so now that opportunities and things are harvest, now you're coming into the summer. And as you come into the summertime, what happens is there's test, and that's where we are right now. This program's airing during the time of either just around the dire straits or just after, and the ninth of Av. So what happens is there's always a testing that comes, Daryl. There's always a testing period, and the testing period will expose your angers and expose your fear, because bad stuff happens, and what happens is you get angry. The scripture says, be angry. Isn't it amazing that you have actually biblical right to be angry? But it says, be angry and sin not. And it said, do not let your anger go down. Let the sun go down on your anger. So why is anger so important? This testing time in Talmuz and Av is about a 60-day window where a lot of bad stuff happens. Is the key is you've accepted your assignment. You're free from the slavery. Now you've been empowered spiritually, like given a signet ring. And now the test comes. And the key is the anger is to show you where your fear is. Because under every anger outburst, there's a fear. If you get angry because someone didn't treat you right, maybe that's rejection. If you're angry because somebody stole something from you, maybe you have a spirit of poverty. Whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. Wherever the anger comes from, if it's a rock and it says, I got outraged about this, if you'll flip it over and look on the other side, there's a deep-rooted fear. So this summertime is a time to be angry, but sin not. How do you do that? What you do is you say, listen, I see that I'm angry about this. It keeps cycling, but I'm not taking it into this next year. I'm going to get delivered. I'm going to come out of agreement with it. I'm going to address and face my fear that causes the anger, and I'm going to remove it from my mindset and the way I think. I'm going to become an overcomer. So to say, listen, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm going to fear no evil. Once you pass those tests, then you're ready for the spiritual new year, which is Rosh Hashanah. The spiritual new year is an exciting time because, so I'm going to back in. Am I going too
much detail? No. Yeah.
Okay. So what's happened is you look at from January into March, you accepted the assignment to be a hero. You lose your slave ship. You know, you're not, citizenship as a slave. You become a son. You have 50 days of counting down of the Omer, where you prepare yourself and your character and your values for power. The power comes, the power's tested. When the test comes, you respond to the anger and the fear and you remove it from your life because you don't really know what's there until you get pressurized. So you get pressurized in the summer. Now we're coming into the fall, the trumpet blast, and you're ready for a new year because of these steps. Then you have Rosh Hashanah. Then the next episode is the Day of Atonement. So you have, okay, I accept this new season. I'm ready. And I still realize I need the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, which is Yom Kippur. This is a time where you come into a cleansing. Then the next feast is the Feast of Sukkot. When you get into Sukkot, the thing about that is it's basically a wedding feast. What it is you're saying, I'm going to marry my new identity as the bride of Christ in the power of all that I've been through. I've accepted the assignment. I'm not a slave. I've been empowered as a son and a daughter. I was tested in the summer of the desert summer of the dire straits, the ninth of Av and all of that. And now I'm saying yes, but I'm taking a three-step program from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur to Sukkot. I'm going to awaken, I'm going to atone, and I'm going to marry my new year. If you'll do that like consciously, intentionally, on purpose, then and you're doing it like my family, we've been doing it for over 30 years. What happens is if you're doing it, you can watch the development happen. And like I said at the beginning of this, with your boss, Megan, and the COO, and really does the CEO job here. But immediately we're in the conversation, we need to do this and this. And she immediately goes to the calendar and said, okay, we got to avoid this. So what I'm saying is that it's not like, I know she learned it from her mom and dad, but she has lived it. And we have watched people not take advice over don't do this and this and the calendar, and real bad stuff has happened.
Just so, becomes natural, right?
Actually, one of the biggest benefits of it, it's not only is it natural, but it is it nurtures and creates a new identity. You have an identity in Him.
Okay, so look in that camera. People listening, obviously, just listen to this. But Rabbi, pray for people to clear their mind, because what you just walked through was very base level. I'm tracking with you. I know people watching and listening are tracking with you. But I know there's usually a lot of distractions, and the enemy uses times like this, even watching and listening to really good spiritual content, because this is so important. So can you pray into people for their minds to just be clear, to accept this teaching, to accept God's calendar and the Hebrew calendar, and just this opportunity to gain knowledge from it?
Absolutely. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to finish with the last feast, which is a minor feast, but one of our favorites is Hanukkah. So Hanukkah is a place where it's another testing time where you're going to compromise with the world, or are you going to stand up for what you believe? Are you going to restore the temple? And so that's, you know, that's part of that situation. So let me look into this camera and say this to you. Fulfillment. Spiritual fulfillment is done on purpose with a plan and discipleship, discipline, habit, and patterns. It doesn't happen because you're born again, filled with the Spirit, and someone lays hands on you. I believe in all that. But what happens is you have to choose to, so to say, have a covenant of one new man, which means that you are removing all the prejudice and all the separations, and you enter into covenant with God. Secondly, once you become that one new man covenant, Ephesians 2 and 3, then the next thing that happens to you is this. You put on, the scripture says you have to choose to put on the new man. So right now, choose to say, Father God, I'm in a one new man covenant. I am part of the household of faith. I am part of the ecclesia of the Israel of God, according to the book of Ephesians. Okay? I'm in covenant. The blood of Jesus has removed the middle wall of separation, creating one new man from the two, thus making peace. Okay? Now, the second thing you have to do is you have to put on the new man. So, Father God, I choose to put on my new identity in Christ Jesus. I choose to put on that I am more than a conqueror through him. Okay? You choose it. You speak it. You pray it right now. And then there's the inner man. So the inner man is your spirit, your soul. Your soul and your spirit need to come in agreement with the Holy Spirit so that there's agreement with, okay, I choose to believe what the Word of God says. And so now you're making a choice in the inner man. So you're one new man, the new man, and now the inner man. That takes care of what we would call the breadth, the width, and the length. All those, Paul says that I want you to comprehend the breadth, the width, and the length. But then the fourth thing he says is the height. The height is the fourth dimension. It's the fulfillment in the Spirit. It's being fulfilled in the Holy Spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit's in heaven, speaks to you on earth, and it's as it is in heaven on earth, and you actually understand what he's saying, and you understand what he's doing in you. Those are the steps. So Paul said, listen, I want you to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the width, the length, and the height. The height is that fourth dimension in the Spirit. So one of the things that happens is one of the biggest things you can do to nurture your soul, okay? You have a body. This body is not going to heaven, okay? This is just your earth suit, okay? Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions is what needs to be transformed by habits and patterns to be able to know that God is God and that you're chosen of him and you are chosen to walk with him and as him. So everything you do with the calendar has to do with really programming your soul to live a lifestyle that is in alignment or in synergy or in sync with the Father. That's why the calendar is so important, because if you're doing things, reading scriptures, being a part of the feast, what happens is your body and soul are being trained as disciples to be able to receive what God is doing in that season. So I'm going to pray out like a cyclical annual prayer for you so that you can kind of see what that feels like. Is that
yeah. good?
Okay.
Let's do it.
So I didn't mean to go so deep into it, but
I'm loving it.
Okay. So here's the thing. Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done in each individual's life who's listening and watching on earth. Let it be as it is in heaven in their earthen vessel. Lord, let us embrace your calendar, even in the Gregorian calendar, that Lord, in the early March, Father God, we choose like Esther to say, Father God, we choose the assignment to answer the call to be a hero, to save the kingdom and save the people. Father God, we come to Passover. We choose every year to make a quality, emotional, intelligent decision to say, Father God, whatever I've picked up since the last Passover that's in the flesh, that has enslaved me, and it happens to all of us, we're taking the four cups of Passover and we are going to be redeemed and we're going to reset and be cleansed from the ways of Egypt. You are in the world, but not of the world. Lord, this is that feast where we take 7 days to say, Lord, anything that's attached itself to me, I'm being cleansed from it in Jesus' name. Father God, I've got the counting down of the Omer, the 50 days between freedom from slavery to empowerment to be that king, priest, entrepreneurial God's called you to be. Father God, in this 50 days, mold me and shape me. You are the potter, I am the clay. Shape me, Lord, into what I'm to do for this next year. That empowerment comes at Shavuot. Then you go through the valley of the shadow of death. You are literally being tested during these months right now, and the ninth of Av, in the dire straits, and you say, Father God, I actually take the tests and the angers and the fears that will come as almost like a mammogram or an EKG or an X-ray into my soul to show me where the triggers are that in those 18% moments in the future that would cause me to fail. You know that there's anger outbursts that can happen, words that are said that can totally derail your future. This period of time, Tammuz and Av, is where God pushes the buttons. So it's not really him, but situations push the buttons in you so that you can be set free from you. Because if you identify it, you can say, Father God, search me and know me, for I desire truth in my inward parts. And then you come out of agreement like, okay, it's rejection. That person rejected me. I don't like him. Now I'm mad. I'm going to do everything I can to get that person. That human behavior. But then you flip the rock over, and where did the rejection come from? You know what? Your parents rejected you. Your parents liked your brother or your sister, siblings over more than favoritism, and you were left out. And all of a sudden, anytime someone rejects you, man, you go off. Because why? It has nothing to do with the situation happening in Tammuz or the ninth of Av. It has everything to do back when you were 6 years old and your dad said, listen, you're absolutely no good. We're going for ice cream. I'm leaving you behind, but I'm taking your brother and sister and whatever, all those types of things. Listen, human beings don't know what they say, but it leaves deep wounds. This time in the summer is where the Lord exposes the anger to find the fear to heal it and turn that into faith. Now we're equipped, okay? What we've received over this year has now been tested, and we've passed the test. We've made the adjustments, and now we say, Father God, let's celebrate this new opportunity in Yeshua's name at Rosh Hashanah. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain of my heart. Father God, I'm coming into the fall feast, and that, Lord, you are with an awakening blast. That, Lord, you're going to take me. I'm not going to make decisions just in the breadth, the width, and the length, but I'm going into the heights to comprehend out of the courts of heaven all the visions and desires, all that's been written in my books, Lord. I'm going to see it, say it, proclaim it, decree it, live it, and be it. I will be who I'm called to be. I'm answering the trumpet blast. But Lord, there may be some things in me that just don't line up. I'm coming to Yom Kippur. I want to be cleansed by the blood of the atonement. Thank you, Father God. Prepare me because I'm being prepared for Sukkot, for the wedding of the Lamb, this harvest feast. I want to be white as snow. So as you launch me into this next season of time as your bride, and Father God, that I am cleansed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And then you're walking in that blessed time as in your wedding covenant at Sukkot. You have a whole week to celebrate that. And then as we start to go into the winter time, there's another test that comes, and it's called Hanukkah. And Hanukkah, you face the giants of Antiochus the Fourth. You see the corruption in the temple, the corruption in all the seven mountains of influence. The corruption comes to your town, so to say, of Modi'in, and you become like Judah Maccabee, the praise hammer. And you make a decision as the leader of you're a mom, you're a dad, you're a grandparent, you're a pastor, you're a CEO, you're a leader, you're a manager, whatever you are. And you make a decision right then and you say, you know what, I've gone through all this training. I'm like Esther, I chose. Listen, I've been washed from that slavery. I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. I was tested in the desert and I fear no evil, for his rod and staff shall comfort me. I've made a decision to get rid of the anger and the fear, and I've been prepared for a time such as this. And when they come with the temptation to be able to corrupt the temple, like they did in the Hanukkah story, I raise up and I agree that in the spirit we kill the garrison that's coming against us. We climb the mountain of the Lord. We go into the temple and we become a part of those heroes that say, Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I'm going to cleanse this temple. We're taking down the statues of Zeus. We're cleansing it in the blood of Jesus. We're trusting the Lord for the miraculous oil that there was only one container for, and trust it for 8 nights of new beginnings. Father God, that you will bring the anointing oil, not only in the temple, but in me, the miraculous new beginning oil of the temple in Yeshua's name. That's the calendar. That's the cycle. And if you think about it, you're going to have how many of these cycles? 70, 80, 90, 100? No one knows. But when you seek first the kingdom of God and you discipline your soul to follow God's calendar, you're more apt to understand God's ways. So when he says, my ways aren't your ways, you could say to him, Father God, in Jesus' name, I put my ways in your ways by setting my calendar to your calendar. It's just one of the small things I can do to allow me to be who I am, not just a human doing, but a human being in the spirit as a king and a priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Kind of hard to transition out of that one, because I feel like incredibly powerful. I was just asking for a prayer. I know people watching and listening will appreciate you going much beyond just praying to clear their mind to be able to
clear your mind.
No, I mean, like, that was great. I just have two more questions, two more areas. It's just taking feedback. I mean, like, we've been observing, me and my wife Morgan, for a little over 2 years, the feast, right? And so I know there's a question that we kind of get answered, but I know in the comment section on YouTube or Facebook, people drop it in occasionally. So the first question, and this is just to wrap up the episode, because I don't think I can go back to get you to do something that good again. So, like, let's have some fun in this one, right?
Yeah.
Why does the Hebrew calendar change every year? Right. That's first up, because that's a very basic question. It does sometimes change in ways that really helps our schedules, and sometimes it doesn't. Right.
Yeah. And this is the year where it doesn't. And, like the year before, it's like all the feasts were like on Friday nights, and they actually were close, like Passover and Easter were like this. This year, because of the leap year, you have Easter here and Passover way out here. But to answer your question, it's because it's a lunar calendar.
Okay. Simple enough. Anyone listening or watching can Google that. You'll probably still be a little confused, because you look at the Hebrew year 1 year and it's like, what's
It's just lunar. It's the calendar follows the moons, the cycle of the moon, and those change. The Gregorian is set in the sun.
Okay.
So hey. It is, I mean, it's scientific. It is what it is. So the sun doesn't change and doesn't move. It is stable. And so the Gregorian calendar is that. And the moon is obviously operates in cycles. And so, and that's the Hebrew calendar. So that's why when you have all these eclipses and different things, with the sun and the moon, it's speaking volumes to, so to say, the sun, the Gentile calendar, the moon, the lunar calendar. So when the moon blocks out the sun, what it's saying is God's calendar is blocking out man's calendar.
Okay, so you answer that pretty easily. okay, so I mean, like, hopefully people can figure out, maybe I can finally figure it out. I think the last area I kind of want to touch on and make this really, really relatable, right? Walk me through just one example of, I mean, you've been following the Hebrew calendar and God's appointed times for 40 plus years and been teaching it for a long time.
Actually, so, 34 years.
34. Okay.
34 years. Yeah.
All right. So I was pushing you 6 years up. So,
well, the 40 thing is, Christy and I have been, you know, I was doing that with how long, Megan? But I got saved at 36, so Megan got saved before me, but she would have been about 5.
Okay. So 34 years, you've been observing the calendar and the appointed times. But just to make it relatable, because, I mean, everybody goes through moments of doubts or whatever. I mean, like, life is very difficult. I have to just think of it day by day. It's like, yes, Lord, whatever you have me do today, yes. To kind of slow down. Tell me a story, though, of during that 34 years, maybe when, not saying you're out of alignment, but like maybe life was just happening, right? And you weren't as far in depth in the time of the year as you should have been, and maybe what you learned from it or how you pivoted from it to put your mind back in to time. I mean, maybe like a feeling that like you can remember.
Yeah, well, I will say when even to right now, so we just had the assassination attempt of Trump. Okay? So it's on Shabbat. And in fact, Jane Hammond actually texted me, you know, they were traveling. And she texted me and she said, Rabbi, Trump's been shot. And so I don't know why she texted me. I would say, I'm going to make an assumption, okay? It's Shabbat. She knows I'm not watching. Listen, I relax and spend time with the Lord on Shabbat and have for, again, over 30 years. So she sends it to me. And then Megan texts me and said, he's been shot. And then Megan texts me and said, well, Daryl texted Megan and said, maybe Rabbi should go on the air and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And so my initial thought was, well, I can't do it. I don't work on Shabbat. And I've learned the hard way of trying to fake work on Shabbat, and it doesn't work. I mean, I have to Shabbat. Listen. Any testimony, I'm 69 years old and I'm in great health. And I really think it's the calendar and Shabbat. I really do.
Yeah.
So but anyway, could be good genes. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But so anyway, so you guys called and I prayed about it. And the Lord said, no, there's reasons why, but you need to pray right now. And so I said, okay. So I had no prep work. I just went in, you know, I have an office with a studio, went in there, flipped everything on, text you, said, here we go. No preparation other than I opened the Bible up to Psalm 91. I had no idea what I was going to say, but I know I'm called and I know that the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, don't fear what you're going to speak when you be put on trial. He says, I will give you the tongue of the well and ready writer. Now, I have stood on that scripture for 30 years, So I, because I get put on the spot all the time, live television, you know, Washington, D.C., hundreds of thousands of people on the platform. Hey, guess what, Rabbi, you come and speak. No, I've had this stuff happen to me. And it's like, okay, here's all these cameras, and I don't know how many hundreds of thousands were there at the events I've been at, but a lot. It doesn't make a difference. You're standing there, and the Holy Spirit has, and Christy will tell you this, and Tim and Sandy, has never ditched me. And that's what happened on Saturday. I just sat down, Christy's in the chair, I'm there, and I just said, okay, this has happened, let's pray. And then, to be honest with you, I can't even tell you what I prayed. It just like was a, you know, it was this explosion. So to answer your question is, I'd say Shabbat. If I don't Shabbat, it affects the way I function in the spirit. Yeah, I would say this to you. You don't know when the next download that's going to change your life, because major life-changing events happen suddenly. And so that's why you always have to kind of be ready. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, and the thing is, I don't want to be out of rest and have it come and I miss it. I've missed it on two occasions where I've really repented. And the reason is because I was out of rest. I was too busy. That's kind of answer. And life was happening. It was happening too fast. So I have to maintain, I know like a car, I know like how many RPMs I can run at. And our staff takes good care of that. It's one of the reasons that we spend time here. And then we spend time in Florida, because at our age, we have to have that stop, refreshing time. And as you know, I get more content from going down to the beach for 10 days. I mean, because what happens is I'm out of that busyness of what's here and all the staff and pastoring, and I can sit and really ask the Lord, what is it you want to say? You know, one of the reasons I would encourage people to join us and subscribe to us on YouTube, that is that they get the prophetic words. Because when I get these prophetic words, I'm getting them trusting the Lord that he's going to speak through me to you, in the sense that you, that word is what you need to hear. And the way the prophetic words work is you're getting ready to make a decision. Maybe it's a bad one. And also as the prophetic word comes, and the biggest thing was, ooh, I almost jumped off the cliff into this thing that I sold myself on it through fear and anxiety. But the whole time the Lord was saying, if you just sit and wait, and then something great comes. And, it's my experience with it, it would be to my grandkids, you were so demanding to have a popsicle, and the Lord actually wanted to give you the ice cream truck if you would have just waited. You know, you settled for one popsicle, and that's what happens is with the Lord. If you'll be patient, he'll give you the whole ice cream truck.
So those prophetic words that Rabbi's talking about is the just YouTube membership. It's so cheap, and like we keep it that way. It just helps us produce more.
How much is that? $250 a
month? It's $299 a month. And so we've been trying to add more content to that, Rabbi. I mean, and just make it better. And I think in 2025 we'll probably add some tiers to that and try to figure out different ways. It's kind of my pitch to people that are watching or listening. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple or a website, if you're watching this on YouTube or watching it on Facebook, it's what I really push for why people should subscribe to the YouTube channel, is that we're going to feed you daily and weekly. And, you know, we're going to have Shabbats on Friday nights, right? We're going to have the Kurt Landry podcast. But in between, we strategically sprinkle little nuggets, even if it's 60 seconds in a YouTube short, that we really believe is going to help you in your daily walk and hopefully meet you where you're at in your faith journey, or just your journey in life if you're a non-believer, right? To encourage you, to bring you to the Word, and to bring you to other content, hopefully on our channel, that will share Jesus with you and walk you through. And hopefully I can get some content in front of you at some point, maybe this podcast, maybe this episode, to show you the feast and show you the calendar. And you listen to it, you look in your Bible, you do your research, and you come up to a conclusion of, hopefully, hey, let me try this. Let me look for some activation by just being faithful, trusting, and I think what you just said takes a lot of patience.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, it's, we kind of pioneered this in a way. I as Christian and believers, but my motivation is that when I read the scripture about the feast and all of it says an everlasting covenant, everlasting means forever. I don't care that it's in the Old Testament. So, but I just did it out of the love of God. I wanted my family to be blessed. Now, I will say this, you won't have this heat now, but we were doing this for 30 years ago. Most of my church friends thought we were legalistic, lots of pressure, lots of like, you're Judaizing, all this stuff. I'm not saying it didn't hurt or it wasn't a hindrance, but the key is I heard from God that the Lord said, I want to show this to you. So now as I look back 34 years ago from where we were and where we are now, the life the Lord's given Christy and I and my family, we're blessed. And I can honestly say I would not trade my life with any other, all my ministry friends that I know, and I love them and they're blessed. I wouldn't trade my life for any of theirs, what God has done. And I think it really has to do with this. A lot of it has to do with following the calendar, because what it does is, and you'll see this as your kids get older, when your children and your grandchildren actually start mirroring you and they go, oh my gosh, look at that little Kurt. And I'll hear that people refer to Megan as Kurt with a skirt. So when you hear that,
you bring that up in a meeting,
yeah,
that'll be good.
Well, she'll be, anyway, it's the family has said it for years, but because she does, she takes after her father. But the same thing with some of my grandkids, they'll do stuff and Megan will say, oh my gosh, I'm raising my father. You know, Joseph is very similar in his behavior. But anyway, so when you hear that, my heart just goes, I mean, how blessed that God gives you in the creative process, these children and grandchildren, and they reflect you. Well, why wouldn't you want to do that for God? That's what the feasts are all about. I'm reflecting Him. And I believe all these years, keeping the feast, that I think when He looks down and sees what we do at House of David and our families, I think He goes, look, they're doing it the way we did it. And I've literally been in the car driving home from a service, having the conversation with the Apostle Paul and the great cloud of witnesses. And I've said, how did I do with that? It's your letter. It's your revelation. Did it make sense? Did I do okay with your content? Because it's his revelation. And I literally either feel encouraged or I'm trying to improve it, because this is my family. And this is what I'm trying to tell people. If all the characters in the Bible you're grafted in, they're your family, it feels much more like family when you behave the lifestyle as a family member. That's what the feasts are all about.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I don't really know where else we could touch. I think in a couple months, we'll look back at some feedback, some comments. And then next time we do another episode or come up with some more teaching, that we'll have a good pivot point to kind of go from there. But man, Rabbi, I mean, really, really powerful episode. If you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube, drop a comment with whatever you got for us on this. You got prayer requests, drop them in there. If you got more questions, drop them in the comments as well. If you're watching on YouTube, you're going to have a video pop up on the screen. Hopefully, it's going to be recommended towards what we think and what YouTube thinks that you want to watch on our channel next, so we can just feed you more. Just stay in this channel, hopefully subscribe, so we can help you with your walk. Rabbi, last thought for you in this episode.
Let the Holy Spirit expand your horizons right now. Don't get caught up with what's at your feet. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Okay. Well, if you're on YouTube, it'll pop up on your screen right now. If not, we'll see you next time.